Martin Kellner on Radio Yorkshire. He's got PMT, pre-match tension.
That's the Beatles, She Loves You on Radio Yorkshire. And before that was the Rolling Stones, Satisfaction. It is Saturday morning. It's pre-match tension, but there is no match this afternoon because it's tomorrow afternoon. And there is no Martin Kellner because he's off hoi polloi in somewhere else today. So you are stuck with Darren and Sam this morning. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good.
Good.
I feel quite good, actually.
Really?
I've had about 2 hours sleep.
Yeah, you had a really bad night's
sleep,
didn't you?
Just one of those nights where you just can't sleep.
You can't switch your brain off.
Lots of things whirling around this little tin can that I've got up there.
Oh, little Sammy and his little brain. It's all under pressure up there. But at what point when you're tossing and turning in bed overnight, do you think, oh, I'm just going to get up. I may as well.
I didn't last night. No, I just...
You stayed.
Just stayed there.
See, now I think that's false economy. False economy. You may as well get up and go and do something. And you maybe go for a run at 3 in the morning.
Yeah. Nah.
Nah.
A bit of yoga or something just to relax me.
Did you really?
No, I didn't.
I was going to say, sure, that's a good idea.
Maybe I should have done.
Because I often think everybody has those nights where you just can't get to sleep. And it doesn't matter what you do, whether or not it's a little bit too hot and you go for the cool side of the pillow. but when that doesn't even work, and then you just see the clock and it's still going and you're just thinking, oh, I may as well just get up. Mm. Especially if you get to that, I don't know, is there like a point of no return when you're getting, it's going to be, you may as well not sleep because you've got to get up like in an hour.
No, I don't think so. Point. I just normally thought, yeah, just eventually just pass out at some point. I was a bit worried, though, because when you've got to get up for work and stuff,
yeah,
and you just eventually, you just go off.
Yes.
Think, oh, no, I'm not going to be there.
Yeah, yeah, which because you won't wake in the morning.
Probably better for a lot of people, but...
I wouldn't have thought so. I'd be all on my own, all on my Todd. That wouldn't
John
be fun
Gibby.
At all.
Could have had John
Gibby's here.
Could have had John
well,
in
yeah.
here. Instead of sending him out in the cold with your Beatles about feature.
I know. Didn't work so well last time, so I thought we'll keep him in the warm this time, shall
we'll
we? Or
anyway.
Should we send him somewhere?
Well, we could do.
We could send him out for like a bit of lunch. Although I did actually bring some lunch in with me. I've actually found that Slimming World, which I am a member of at the moment, and Slimming World do like a load of products for Iceland, had my first ever delivery from Iceland.
Those.
From Iceland last night.
Yeah, I always see them. I do like Iceland.
Gonna try. I've never shopped in Iceland. I don't think ever in my life.
It's the only supermarket that's within walking distance to our house.
Is it really?
So I've become a regular.
Have you got some plenty of frozen food in
I
your
like
house
it.
Then? I don't know what it's like inside. I've no idea. Is it still just banks of freezers?
Yeah, there's a lot of freezers. There's a bit of fresh goods.
Is there? Because on the online stuff, there was like a lot of like the bread and all the fresh stuff. I was like, okay, that's not what I remember of Iceland.
No, they do a lot of stuff. Like, if you are into healthy eating, and unhealthy eating as well. People who are into like fad diets and stuff like that, they do a lot of different stuff that you just can't get in any other supermarket.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like just those sort of superfood stuff and that sort of thing.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
Right.
For people who are into protein, which as few people here are.
Yeah, they are, yeah. Gains.
Yeah, all about the gains and
all
that kind
about
of
the
stuff.
Gains.
They do all kind of like Australian meat, like kangaroo and stuff like that.
Kangaroo's really good, yeah.
Yeah, which has like 38, 50 grams of protein in it for a slice of steak and all
it's
that
very
kind
expensive
of stuff.
Here, though.
It's not too bad, actually, compared to just buying...
Really?
Yeah, if you in
Have
Iceland.
You tried it? Have you
I've never it? Tried it, no. Never it, tried it. I always look at it and think, should I? Then it's like, oh, it's a little baby kangaroo, isn't it?
It is a little baby kangaroo, but they're not. They're the big ones. They're like about 6 or 7 foot tall. They are huge.
But still, I don't know. It's eating a creature that you... I don't know.
It's the only country in the world that eats their national emblem. Because the kangaroo and the emu are both on the Australian badge.
Yeah.
And they're the only country in the world that eat their national emblem. No other country does it. The emu and kangaroo. Mm. Emu's like turkey. Tastes a bit like turkey. Kangaroo's very nice. It's very lean. Very, very lean.
Mm.
It's
it
very
looks
cheap
all right,
over there.
I must admit, yeah.
It is nice.
I do look at it and think, should I?
A barbecued kangaroo with some sort of chocolate sauce.
Chocolate sauce.
Yeah, there was like a chocolate sauce served. It was I have to be honest with you, it was unbelievably good. It was really, really good.
Yeah, because I totally forgot that you lived in Australia.
I don't like to talk about it. I don't like to talk about it. But I did spend some time down under. I did spend some time.
Prepare
there.
Yourself, people. The Ash is in Australia. So if you listen to Darren on Good Morning Yorkshire, he's going to regain his Australian accent for the next 3 weeks, whatever it is.
Fair dinkum. Yeah, it shall happen. It shall happen. I'm looking forward to it because it's next week, isn't it, for the Ashes? We'll talk about that a little bit later on. You're excited about it. I know. I know you are.
I kind of do a little bit get excited about England or Britain or Europe in the Ryder Cup face.
Yeah.
Those kind of head-to-head series, I do kind of like it. Even though I'm not massively into cricket at all.
It's a big thing, isn't it?
But yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it's close. If the Aussies are 2-0 up, I won't care for the rest of the three games.
I don't think anybody will if the Aussies are 2-0 up.
No, some people do. People power through.
They will, yeah. But if we're 2-0 down after two tests, I think we'll probably just give
up. Block it out.
Yeah. It's going to be intriguing. We've got loads to go through this morning, actually. We're here till around 1:30, and then the Gibmeister, John Gibby, will be taking over. Of course, there's no live football today. That's happening tomorrow with Return of the Monk. Gary Monk is back. I do like the little video. Is it Tom Maguire that's done that with superimposing Gary Monk's face onto Return of the Mac?
Yeah, he's got a little bit obsessed with it.
He has a little bit, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's loving it.
He mentioned it as a title to one of the videos he did earlier this week. So I said to him, does that mean you're going to Photoshop Gary Monk's head on Mark Morrison? And since then, he's even gone and taught himself how to do one of those videos you see on Joe or whatever. On
I've seen
Photoshop,
it, yeah.
Whatever it's called, After Effects. He's learned that just for that, do that video.
Just to do
just
that.
Self-taught himself. He's gone away. He's not slept in about 3 days, it's the lad. Just to produce,
to produce
that video.
One 20-second video of Gary Monk's face superimposed on Mark Morrison. You've got to see it, though. It's actually quite good. Is it available on our Twitter and on our Facebook?
Yeah, on social media, if you just check on there, but I'll see it.
At Radio _ Yorkshire.
We should play that song.
Do you know what? We should, shouldn't we? Because I've not... I did actually search for it earlier on this week as well.
I don't think we'll have it, will we?
Oh, yeah, no, we've got it.
We do have it.
Oh, yeah.
In one of the secret archives.
Oh, yeah. There it is. There we go. Should we have it now? Because we haven't heard this. I haven't heard this. I can't remember the last time I heard this properly.
I listen to it a lot.
Do you? Do you really?
My Mark Morrison CD.
You got a Mark Morrison CD?
Of course I have. Everyone has, haven't they?
No, they haven't. No, they really haven't. Well, this is for everybody else who
has it on vinyl.
For everyone else that hasn't heard this in probably about 10 years. And for Sam, who was listening to it on the way in this morning, here we go. 17 minutes past 10, it's Radio Yorkshire, Return of Gary Monk!
Darren Harper on Radio Yorkshire.
It's the 21st birthday of Return of the Mac, and I think they're redoing it with someone else singing the vocals. I think that's what it is. But that was in October. He was back in the studio.
Is he on Twitter, did you say?
He is.
Let's tweet him so you can get him on.
He's got 110,000 followers, and he's following 7 people. One follower you know. Don't even know who that person is. I always like to see that there's one follower we know who is Tyson Too Fast Fury. I don't know who that is. So we'll tweet him. Hi, Mark. How are you? That's always
you don't
a nice
know who
way.
That is. That's Tyson Fury. The lineal heavyweight champion of the world.
That's his Twitter, is it? Is that Tyson Too Fast Fury? That's Tyson Fury.
It could well be.
Right, we'll have a little look in a minute.
No, I think because it doesn't he want... I'm pretty sure that Tyson Fury wants Donald Trump to walk him to the ring, and I think he wants Mark Morrison to sing Return of the Mac as he walks into the arena when he faces Anthony Joshua.
Right, that does sort of make sense now, then,
sure
doesn't
I've
it?
I've seen him tweet that, yeah.
Right. I've written Donald Mark.
Tyson Too Fast Furious.
Sorry, I don't know all their Twitter handles off by heart. I can tell you what Mark
Tyson Hamill... Fury.
Well, that's Tyson Fury, but you couldn't tell me what Mark Hamill's is from Star Wars. But I could tell you that.
Mark Hamill?
No, Hamill himself. At Hamill himself. See? I've written to Mark Morrison. Here we go. Hi, Mark. How are you? Would you be free for a little chat on our radio show this morning? Anything else I should put?
Yeah, tell them we've played Return of the Mac.
We've just played Return of the Mac. We've got now 250 characters, haven't we? Or 280, we can do loads in there.
And we would just like to have a catch-up ahead of its 21st birthday.
And would
please
love a catch-up. catch-up ahead of its 21st birthday. Yeah.
Remember when we used to do that, when we did another show a long time ago? We used to just pick people on Twitter
and Z-list
celebrities and then just stalk them until they came on.
Yeah,
it actually worked.
It did work. We got Jet, didn't we?
Yeah, Jet from Gladiators.
Jet from Gladiators. She still follows me on Twitter, actually. She retweeted me earlier on this week. Did Jet. We got a few others as well, didn't we? Right, we're going to tweet him. There you go. Right, we've tweeted Mark Morrison. So let's see what happens. See what happens.
If he wants to get anybody else on, please just let us know.
Problem is, I've just noticed as well, is that realistically, he has not tweeted since October, the beginning of October. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't mean he's not checking the old notifications.
Yeah, I suppose so, really. Well, let's hope so. Well, let's see. Let's see what happens, really. We have plenty of other guff coming up as well a little bit later on this morning. We're going to be joined in the studio by some Lizzie's Leeds fans. Heidi Hay is going to join us a little bit later on because she's putting together a group of Leeds United fans. Not just your normal fans. These are fans that have been through the ringer. These are people who have been Leeds United fans for like 50 years. They've been to every single game over the last 50 years. And they're going over, I think, a little bit later on today, and they're going to be recording some of the sort of classic old chants that they used to sing at Elland Road. She's going to come into the studio with a couple of them.
That'd be good. Yeah.
We'll find out, if they're the sort of family-friendly chants. I would imagine during like the 70s and the 80s, maybe the 70s, they probably were family-friendly. Nowadays, they seem to have a few more colourful metaphors in them. So you can't really play them out on radio.
You could edit them.
Yeah, well,
they tried to do on radio. That we got this week, where they try and edit out.
We'll play
swear
that
words
this morning. What I'm going to do is
we turn into a hip hop station.
We're going to play the new Eminem one a little bit later on. But it's Eminem and Beyonce, and it actually is really nice. It is nice. I like it. But there is some. They've done a radio edit of it because obviously Eminem does have some interesting language. And they have done a radio edit of it, but still, even after the edit, it's still pretty obvious what words he's trying to say there. So I think what I'll do is I'll make a seamless edit of those words. No one will be able to tell in this edit of where those sweary type words are. I think we'll be all right. We'll play it a little bit later on. Yeah. It'll take me at least 10 minutes to edit it, so. But you won't tell. It was just seamless. You won't tell. We're also going to talk ahead of Christmas, gifting and re-gifting. Because apparently loads of us do that now. We get a gift. We're not really too au fait about it. We're not happy about it. We tend to then pass it on to someone else. We've done it loads. I've done it definitely many, many times. It's very handy, really.
Yeah. I don't know if I have actually done it. I don't know. I can't think of a time. I definitely know I have been re-gifted.
You've been re-gifted? Yeah. Oh, how do you know, though?
One in particular, it was when Flynn was born, our son, and somebody gave us a gift, and it was like a set of like a lemon liqueur and like a lemon cake in like a box.
Weird.
I thought it was a bit odd.
Yeah.
And then I noticed this person then was giving out gifts that they'd received to other people. So I thought, hold on a minute.
You've been re-gifted.
I've just been re-gifted.
A lemon liqueur and a lemon cake.
Celebrate the birth of your son with some lemon liqueur and a slice of cake.
That's what I think straight away after you've had the birth of your first baby is lemon cake and lemon liqueur. Yeah, I think everybody knows that.
Smashed onto lemon liqueur.
Yeah. Wet the baby's head with lemon cake and liqueur. How strange. Can't believe it. Anyway. I thought it was a lovely gift to give you, but if you didn't want it, then that's fine. That's fine.
Well, I drank it. 25 minutes.
Your perfect Saturday morning. Tunes, chat, building up to sport this afternoon. Martin Kellner's PMT on Radio Yorkshire.
Mott the Hoople, all the young dudes on Radio Yorkshire. 29 minutes past 11. It's Martin Kellner's pre-match tension on Saturday here on Radio Yorkshire with no Martin Kellner. Darren and Sam are here until 1:30. We're going to be talking Leeds. In the next hour, we'll cross back down to Cheltenham as well. Catch up again with Bobby Beavers. But he rudely interrupted our chat about TV. The only reason Probably a good thing, yeah. But there's a couple of things I wanted to talk about on TV. Because obviously it was Children in Need last night. And then during Children in Need, I was expecting, because like Peter Kay does a lot of stuff for Children in Need. Before he did like the Phoenix Nights run down in the Manchester Evening News Arena.
Yeah.
And that was pretty good.
But yeah, Peter Kay always does something for Children in Need when he has got something he desperately needs to promote.
Like a new tour coming to Leeds First Direct Arena for 2 days.
He's a good soul, old Pete.
Tickets.
He's a very good
go
soul.
Go on sale
Do anything
Sunday.
For anyone.
He
there's
will.
Something in it for him.
Because he was on it last night, but I thought there was going to be a car shared, like a little episode, a special episode of Car Shared to sort of like wrap it up. But no. He only turned up on it last night to announce there's going to be two final episodes of Car Share. He said that there was going to be no plans for any further installments, but now says he's completely overwhelmed by the response to it. Second series concluded, of course, the two main characters appearing to end their will they, won't they relationship for good. So they're going to have like a final episode, like a season finale. But then also they've done like a half an hour episode called Car Share Unplanned, which is they just got in the car and they've had no script and they've just recorded it and seen what happens. So that's going to be out as well in 2018.
Yeah.
So you sort of like, right, and that was it. And then he finished and I sort of looked at the wife and I thought, is that it? Is that what we've sort of waited for? Right. So I've had to sit through EastEnders singing like show tunes to wait for Peter Kay's Car Share, and then it wasn't even on.
Yeah. See, the thing about Peter Kay as well is that I do like him.
Yeah, I do.
As a comedian. But some of his TV stuff these days, like Car Share.
I love it.
He's obviously... He likes to... I wouldn't say steal, but he likes to take other people's ideas and make it his own. He's a bit like an X Factor contestant.
Are you thinking this is like a James Corden's?
Well, Car Share is essentially
karaoke.
It's essentially no. It's he robbed it off Jerry Seinfeld, didn't he? The old comedians in cars.
Oh, comedians,
coffee.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's kind of the premise.
It's pretty much the same thing. You're right. Yeah.
And for him to do Unplanned, which is just two people sitting in front of each other talking
in
unplanned
a car.
Rubbish. He's obviously been listening to me and you.
Oh, yes. That's very true, actually. Completely unplanned. He listens to the early kickoff. Terrible
people.
Unplanned radio. Are you not a big fan of Car Share, though? You've not really watched it, have you?
I only saw the first episode, and it just felt old.
I like it. I've got to admit, I was fully on board. There's a radio station on it called Forever FM, and it's brilliant. It's really, really... It's so bad, it's good. Those little things like that, and the signs in the background, it's those things on Car Share that I really, really like. So I'm quite happy that we're going to get a little bit more of it, but then that'll be it. There won't be any more Car Share, which would be a bit of a shame because it has been really, really good. There is something new though on Netflix, the greatest streaming service in the world. Punisher is on.
Oh, is it out?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh,
it came
good.
Out yesterday. I've not seen any of it. What I'm the reviews I'm seeing are pretty good because I think some of these Marvel series are a bit hit and miss. They have been anyway.
They're
in the
all
past.
The same. They start off well.
Yeah.
And they dip in the middle.
They dip.
And then it
ends on a high sometimes.
Yeah, it ends on a kind of high.
Yeah. The Daredevil I quite liked. I haven't watched all of season two of that yet.
Daredevil, good.
The Iron Fist, not so good.
I liked that.
I zoned out after about five or six episodes.
Luke Cage was okay.
Okay. Jessica Jones was my favourite.
That was okay.
I really like that one. Defenders, I've only seen a couple of the Defenders where they've all got together.
I've not watched that. I can't
remember. And of course, The Punisher was in Daredevil Season 2, played by John Bernthal, who was Shane in Walking Dead. And he's really good as Punisher, isn't he? Well, certainly was in Daredevil. I thought that was like the best part of Daredevil season two, was having the Punisher in it.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, I will be watching that.
I think a lot of people are saying it's very, very violent.
Good.
Extremely, extremely violent.
My kind of TV.
So don't watch it with the kids, is what we're saying. It's definitely a late night watch. But I'd be intrigued to have a little look at that, I think. I think that could be quite cool. Yeah, it would be quite cool.
That was a good documentary this week. I think it's been on here at ESPN, which is part of BT Sport, if you've got it. ESPN do these documentaries 30 for 30. And if for anybody who is into wrestling, or WWF or WWE as it is now, so some of the boys here like Tom and RSW,
they love it. They love it.
But it's on Ric Flair, who was, he's been in it for about 30-odd years, and he was a big star in the 80s. Well, like a local star. It was like the WWF and then this other corporation, a bit like we were saying before about UFC and Bellator, kind of like the next level down but more regional. And it was just about his life. And he ended up in the WWF / WWE.
Mm-hmm.
But, what a life this guy had. And it was like a rock star.
Right.
But then it was also about like the bad stuff in life as well. But he was on the road so much, and he believed his character. He was like this, almost like a Floyd Mayweather type, flaunting the money type character.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, but he lived his persona. So he was kind of like a normal kid, was adopted, and just played sports. And then he just became this flamboyant superstar, all the women and all this kind of stuff.
Wow.
Said he'd slept with 10,000 women.
What?
He revealed in the documentary. So he lived this like glamorous rock and roll lifestyle, but then it was kind of the flip side of his kids never saw him, and they all had resentment towards him, and it's kind of
a bit sad, really.
Yeah, it was kind of like this. But that's kind of like the story, isn't it, of, I suppose, of that type of entertainer, life on the road.
Yeah.
It's like the stuff you don't see with the family and things like that. It looks a good life, but then at the end of it, when it's all gone and you're sat there and you've just got regrets. It was really, the way they did it was really good, because it was like the good, or like what you would perceive as like the glamour side of life.
Yeah.
And then actually what he missed out on, the actual real stuff. So it's a really good documentary.
And that's on ESPN, is it?
I think
30
so.
For 30.
30 so for 30, good. They do these documentaries, but all about the life and times of Rick Nature Boy Flair.
I'm not a massive fan of
No, but I think
WWE.
It's for anybody to, I think anybody who's into sport would like it.
We'll be talking more sport. I can tell you that we are not far away, I don't think, from the North London Derby.
No. No, it's Harry Kane walking in with his Beats headphones on.
He's fine, isn't
he? He's all right, the lad.
Yeah.
Dele Alli probably as well.
Yeah, there he's starting. Just had a look at the team news there. And Kane and Alli both started. Miraculous recovery.
Must have been an oxygen chamber all week.
All week since the England game. So it is Arsenal Tottenham at, what is it going to be? Like a half 12 kickoff, is it?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that, okay.
Arsenal have not won for like 3.5 years in the North London Derby.
Really?
Mm.
You'd have to say it'll probably be Tottenham today, wouldn't you, really?
You would fancy Tottenham, especially with Kane and Alli just having 2 weeks off.
Miraculous, like, had their feet up and everything. So we'll keep you updated on that. We'll talk some Leeds. We'll talk West Yorkshire football as well. So.
Darren Harper on Radio Yorkshire.
It's 25 minutes away from one. It's Radio Yorkshire, Saturday afternoon. It's still 0-0 in the North London Derby. Now, joined in the studio here on this Saturday lunchtime, we're going to be talking some Leeds for the foreseeable future. Heidi Haig returns. Good morning and good afternoon, Heidi.
Good morning. I mean, good morning, good afternoon.
No, I've just done the same thing. It says I usually say good morning, so it's a little bit of a change. How are you? All right?
I'm all right, thank you.
Good. And you've brought some friends in with you as well, Heidi. We've got Mick Hewitt. Hi, Mick.
Hello there.
How you going? All right.
I'm great, mate.
And Gary Edwards. Gary, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good to see you again. Heidi, very, very exciting day. Explain exactly what is happening today.
Well, after a lot of effort, we're going to be finally recording all the old Leeds songs today, and it's eventually going to be on a CD, DVD, and any money made from it is going to go to the Leeds United Academy. So it's taken probably a year in getting everything sorted, but just very excited that the day's finally come that we're going to, you know, do what we wanted to do and have a unique recording of all the lead songs.
Yeah, exactly. So this has taken a whole year to put together. So did you come up with the idea yourself to do this?
Well, I've always wanted to record the old songs, just basically because at one time the atmosphere went really dire here and I thought we need to get the atmosphere going. And with social media, I saw that Mick wanted to do that as well. So with us being long-standing Leeds fans and Gary Edwards and got Collar involved as well and Tony Winstanley, and between us all, we've been putting things together to, and we've got over 200 songs and chants from the... well, from the shed days up till now. Wow. And we're going to be releasing that in the future. So exciting.
200, recording all 200 songs, really?
Songs and chants, yeah.
200?
200. Well, the thing is...
You've got a long day, guys.
Well, everybody says we've only got one song. So this is going to just prove them absolutely wrong.
200, that's unbelievable, isn't it?
That's a lot of songs. How long did it take? Is there a whittling down process, or was there a lot more for consideration?
The thing is, some songs obviously couldn't make the list because of the tour risque and times have changed and everything. So there's no way that we're going to be recorded. We probably have missed out loads and loads, and people have got different versions of them. But what we've tried to do is go for the earliest version we possibly can. So I've been instrumental in typing everything up and, you know, passing it to everybody else to check. And it's like anything else. Hopefully, once we go through them, I did have another practice myself last week, because in fact it took us 1.5 hours, didn't it, first time to record, and I've done a few changes here and there and added more chants in that people come up with, and it still took about 1.5 hours. But when you're recording, it's obviously going to be slightly different, and especially the shed songs are going to be the older ones, so I don't know how many know that, but no, looking forward to it.
Gary, have you been practicing? Have you been practicing in the shower?
Yes, practicing everywhere. That's our stand is there. That's where the old shed was, and it'd be great. Heidi's done a great job, and it'd be great to get some of these old songs going back again. And I remember when I went in there as a young kid, and there were people with tambourines and guitars and flutes and all sorts. I thought we were going into Salvation Army or something. You know? It was fantastic, and it's great to be able to put that on and record this, and it's history then. It's great.
Yeah.
It's something to keep, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be great. It'd be fantastic, yeah.
It's interesting you say about people turning up with guitar. I think I interviewed a guy, I think he lives in Israel now, Philip Debreen, who was he the original like Leeds United minstrel, I think he was.
Called. Yeah. Phil's the inspiration behind what we are doing. Phil and his gang of 15, I think he said he had, were the first people, maybe the first people in England to start a choir. But most of us are from a different era, the early 70s, when the shed finished, went onto the Gelded End, when that first was roofed, and we had to be in the ground at 1 o'clock to get in. So we had nothing else to do but to stand there and sing songs, make up songs, and that's where it all started from.
Yeah, and the one thing that Mick said is once we're gone, those songs would be forgotten, and that's the other thing, you know, it's to make sure that the memory lives on with the, you know, what we've done over the years. I mean, some of the songs obviously show how violent it was in those times, but they're authentic and they've got to stay that way.
Yeah, we tried to creep a few of the old songs in, but Ida's been very politically correct.
Yes, we tried
to be fair, fair enough.
And, we tried as best,
yeah.
So it's not just one song?
We have certainly not only got one song. We started pre-season. Every pre-season we go on, and we've been on everyone as long as we can ever remember.
Yep.
The last night of pre-season, it's all the gang gets together and we sing old songs.
Yeah.
I said many years ago in Slovakia, I said we should actually record this, guys. And the year after they didn't go abroad, we went to Torquay and we met a guy called Tony Winstanley, who's involved today, an old Shed guy. And he sang songs every single
night.
Just
like
night.
A walking jukebox, isn't
it? It was absolutely fantastic. And we got together with Tony, and then Heidi got involved, and we said, look, we can do this. Heidi's been instrumental in driving it forward, otherwise this
just
wouldn't have been happening
all, just
today.
Just kept it all together without a doubt.
And we've had one rehearsal, which was great. We enjoyed it. There's the Peacock Pub, as we sit here now, is full of Leeds fans, all giddy, ready to do the songs. We've been in the pub in Leeds station, and we've broke out into old Shed songs.
Yes,
and this is this morning, is it?
This is this morning.
Right, okay.
We've had to rehearse in the pub as well. Yeah.
The guys behind the bar said, "I don't think you should be singing things like this about Albert Johannesson." But we did, and we're looking forward to today, finally getting it sorted. We know it's not going to be perfect. We know we're not going to get all the songs and all the correct version, but we've had a right good go at it, haven't we? We've had a right good go at getting all the correct wording. And
we've got a lad coming in, haven't we, that's doing the recording, and he's a professional, so he says he can tie it all together, because there's going to be a couple of gaffes, obviously, and he said, no problem, he'll make it good.
So. Yeah, and I've got my daughter coming to take hopefully some videos and photos of us, because obviously when you're singing, we're not going to be able to do everything, but fingers crossed she gets here. the thing is as well, I said come with your colours, because we're going to do our You'll Never Walk Alone, which we used to do on the Cop, and with scarves raised aloft, and I want to recreate that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so the amount of memorabilia that's coming out, somebody's got his old rattle from Shed days. Yeah, and, you know,
rattle, wow.
I've been looking for mine, I can't find it nowhere.
There'll be little photos taken of all these things, and all part of our marketing. So, you know, looking forward to it. There's some fantastic memorabilia there. And no, Mick, you're not buying it. I sold mine 20 years ago, and I got
so offers today already. Yeah.
You've already made offers on things you've seen.
Fantastic, thanks. Fantastic.
Oh, no, I sold a lot of my stuff 2 years ago, and now I've got so nostalgic when I wrote my books, then I thought, why did I get rid of them?
Oh, no.
I mean, I've still got all my badges, and he's not having them, so I mean.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he'll come here. He'll come. Dun.
It's been a long time coming, hasn't it, Heidi?
We've
planned this, and it's really nice that we're actually here. We're going to do it today, because I was going to put it into a book, if you remember the original. Conversation, and I think this is better, because everybody can actually be involved and listen to the old songs, and hopefully some will get recreated back in the South Stand, the Gelded End. Be great. Absolutely fantastic.
It'll be good. It'll be good.
I was going to ask that. Are there any particular songs you would like to see sung every week?
Well,
there's not anymore.
The thing is, a lot of them were when we were in the First Division, or champions of the First Division, and a lot of the better songs were when we won the Cups and such. So they, we'll have to wait a little while until we actually win something again.
The older ones are worded, aren't they?
But we're great at redeveloping those songs, and there are people who can redevelop those songs and put them into the current context of what we do at Elland Road and away games now. I think most songs can be recreated, not necessarily as they are, but into the current context of how the football team are playing. And when we do get good again, we'll bring back the old, the original versions.
Yeah,
see, a lot of these songs are they're actually talking about us winning 2 points.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good lord.
2 for a win and 1 for a draw. You know, so that confuses a lot of people. We're going to get 2 points today, as Ronnie Hilton.
The last song that we've actually introduced into today, I put on the on social media yesterday a song I was involved in 1972. Yeah. We were taken down to Pye Record Studios in London, as the Leeds United Supporters Club, a coach load of us. I was 14 year old, and we made a record for Leeds winning the double in 1971-2. Leeds didn't win the double, it never got released, but that song exists and there's an original record, and yeah. I played that on social media.
Yeah, good.
And we decided that, oh, that's a great song, even though it never got released, and we've added that in last. And it's nice that it survived. The children's programme, We Are the Champions, was the B-side of it, strangely.
Was it really?
Away
you go.
That is the B-side of our record. It never got released because we lost on the last day at Wolves.
They made us play the last game. They made Leeds play 48 hours.
On the Monday, 48 hours after winning the FA Cup. Because was it Derby County had to go on holiday to Mallorca or something?
Yeah.
Derby actually won the league, like Mick says, by being on holiday. They were on holiday, and they got a telegram saying they'd won the league because we didn't win at Wolves. We only needed a point to get the double. But I was telling Mick earlier, I had that weekend. I actually left school on the Friday. This is 1972, so I left the school on Friday. You know, people have a gap year now, don't they? A gap 2 or 3 years, don't they?
Yeah.
I had a gap weekend. I left school on the Friday and went down with my dad on the Friday to the FA Cup final against Arsenal in 1972. Came back on a Sunday and started my first ever job on Monday. That was my gap weekend. So
Christ.
I finished work, won the FA Cup and started work.
It's not a bad weekend, was it?
We've never done it again.
It's all right weekend, really.
Not too bad. You mentioned like the people playing guitars and rattles and things like that. These days, are when people in the crowd try and do things like that, whether it is a rattle or
drums,
with the drums or
no, we're not having that. No, we don't need a drum. We don't need a drum.
That's the same drums, but that's the difference
between that
era.
Thing is, our fans are unique altogether, and we've tried to keep the traditional support and songs going, and this to me is what's going to keep us going, and I'd rather have scarves and banners than anything else, and we can recreate anything we want, so we can do this, so I'm looking forward to it all.
There's a wide range of ages of fans out there, like these songs go from the 60s to the present day, which speaks volumes, really.
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't knock Leeds United for trying the flags and the mosaics, etc. I was at Wembley on Friday night, and there were a great mosaic before the game, and and everybody had a flag there at Wembley. I didn't wave my flag. I sat there, but I admired the fact that everybody in the second half, England were under the cosh against the best team in the world, and every England fan thought, God, we're going to lose this game, and everybody started waving the flag.
Yeah.
And
creates an atmosphere.
It actually brought the team back into the game, just as we were about to lose it. They lifted the game.
They played well.
Let's not knock Leeds United for doing that.
They're trying something tomorrow, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm not knocking them. I don't mind the flags. I draw a line at drums.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Drums and clappers.
We don't need those.
No. But I mean,
we don't need drums.
I've no problem trying to create an atmosphere, and that's what we need to do.
We also got an Anderlecht fan out of the ground because he brought a drum years back in.
Something.
He was in West End here, and he had a drum, and it didn't last long.
It was bad enough at Anderlecht.
The senior members in the West End escorted him out of the ground.
Senior members of the West End.
There's quite a bit of experience around this desk of Leeds United games. I mean, Gary very famously. When was it you started watching Leeds United, and your run of games was
66?
Legendary, isn't it?
If I make it to the 17th of January next year, it'll be 50 consecutive years.
50 consecutive years of games. And not one miss, no friendlies.
No, there were the one friendly, but the actual competitive league and cup, home and away, Europe, everything. 50 years. If my blood pressure tablets
get they keep me going until the 17th of January.
Yeah,
that is an amazing effort, and you've written more than one book about this as well.
Yeah, Five. I've got five 6 months coming out, but it'll be 2 years to coincide with Leeds City 2019. But
right.
But yeah, it's given us some material, hasn't it,
Heidi? Absolutely.
Given us plenty of material.
Well, I mean, it was Gary who inspired me to write mine, basically, because you know, we've all got different stories to tell, and it's something we need to keep. You know, I mean, the thing is, as well, today, the fact that it's taken a year to get together was basically because we've got people all over the country, because Collar has come up from, what, down Portsmouth, isn't it? Yeah, Southampton, yeah. Portsmouth for this today. So, you know, it's been trying to get things together with us all. And I just said to Mick, we can't get everybody together, so we're just going to have to go with how we do it and liaise with each other. And actually, it's worked well in the end.
It has. I'd like to see seeing Phil De Bruyne here, but he's residing in Israel at the moment, is Phil, but he's the inspiration.
Yeah.
Collar's the inspiration. You're the inspiration.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, as well, with Phil De Bruyne, I've got the pieces of the paper about the minstrel. He sent me that through in the photo.
Yeah,
so he's going to be credited on the CD and DVD, like we all are. Everybody who's taken part, you know, the names are going to be on it as well, because not everybody who went to the practice can come today, but they're still taking part in it, which, you know, is fantastic.
So once this is all done and recorded, how are people going to be able to get hold of a copy?
Well, that's where the marketing's going to come in. I mean, hopefully the club will sell some, and it'll all come looking at eBay and stuff.
The club have said they'll sell them in the club shop. We'll have a shop. We've got a shop on eBay.
Yeah.
In any case, through myself, and we know for a fact that it'll be reproduced within seconds. We'd like everybody to remember that we're not doing this for money. Anything that's made after the initial cost of the making the CDs, etc., we'll go to the academy at Leeds United, which I think that's fair enough.
It's mainly to put it on record.
And the thing is,
wants to copy it after that.
At the end of the day, we can all have copies, and people can get them through us. You know, we'll make sure we've got copies if people want to buy them direct from us.
I'd like to think in about 50 years' time, when we're long gone, the young lads are thinking, crikey, they never sang songs like that. let's make our own version of that song, and we're giving them a bass to start with, aren't we?
Exactly. Yes.
Me and Mick are bringing an uncut version out, aren't we?
Yes, we've got an uncut version.
The ones that didn't quite make the final.
The ones that didn't quite make it, the PC.
The non-PC ones,
That's 360.
Listen, best of luck with it this afternoon. It sounds like it's going to be a very emotional afternoon, Heidi.
Oh, definitely. I mean, when I got here, it's just the fact I got here, I was ready to cry, and I'm thinking, come on, we haven't even started yet. So, but no, it's the fact it's all coming together, and we're going to do what we set out to do, which is get them recorded. And, you know, we're a bit closer at the end of today, but looking forward to it.
It should be fantastic. Heidi, Mick and Gary, thanks very much for coming into Radio Yorkshire. Cheers.
Thank you.
One of this country's best radio voices is on Radio Yorkshire.
Although we couldn't afford Tony Blackburn.
It's Martin Kilner on Radio Yorkshire.